You love podcasts, the stories, the laughs, the unexpected turns. But when this episode ends, the silence starts. Not anymore. Audiobooks.com turns that silence into your next great adventure. With over 450,000 titles, from bestsellers to hidden gems, your love for listening just found its new best friend. And because you already know the joy of audio, we're giving you 3 free audiobooks to start your journey. Imagine your favorite podcast, now with unlimited episodes. That's audiobooks.com. Keep the story going. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. Because for podcast lovers like you, the end of an episode is just the beginning. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.
This episode is brought to you by Major Spoilers VIP members.
VIP stands for Very Important People, and their small monthly contributions ensure that this podcast remains free for all of you.
If you would like to become a bronze, silver, or gold VIP member, go to members.majorspoilers.com for more information.
I sure do thank you for your support. Now, hear your show.
Now, what do you mean, Matthew? No, the audio's fine. The audio's fine, man.
This week on Dueling Review, we review Walt Disney Comics and Stories number 733, Night of the Living Text. The fourth wall breaks as Mickey and Goofy discover they're living inside of a comic book story with scary plans for them both. Then Donald Duck and Gyro are swallowed whole in a new William Van Horn adventure. Mickey Mouse realizes he's living in a comic book world.
Thanks to Goofy.
Well, we're all a little goofy when it comes to Mickey Mouse.
Yeah. So this first story takes place in my comic room.
In a dirty, filthy attic full of chipmunks?
No, but there is a dog and a rat in there going through the books trying to figure it all out.
Yeah. So Mickey goes over to Goofy's house to help him sort his comics. Yep. A big old box of them fall on Mickey's head, and when he wakes up, he notices that the caption is there, and it starts... the captions start getting angrier and more of them. And pretty soon we've got a attack of the living zombies.
Yeah, just swarms of captions suddenly and now, but.
Mm-hmm. And it introduces. And what's nice about this story is that it does follow the Night of the Living Dead kind of storyline where suddenly these monsters are everywhere and the military comes and the military gets wiped out. And suddenly, you know, the final survivors of the world have to try to escape on a bus and then they either survive or they don't survive. And this follows that trope very closely.
And screaming cheerleader.
Yeah. And what's even nicer is it's kind of a nice primer on horror storytelling.
It is, and it's really meta in a couple of ways because it's constantly lampshade hanging on horror stories, but if you actually read it, they're also making meta commentary about the captions and the creation of the comic book story. So mm-hmm. they talk about it as it's happening,
right?
And then we get to the end of the first chapter and the professor's like, oh no, now we must face the worst thing of all. The giant recap caption.
Yeah, which comes after. So this story is actually broken into two parts because in the middle we get a story that's also kind of another not really fourth wall breaking, but alternate reality or virtual reality story.
Definitely where, metatextual, yeah.
Yeah, where Donald Duck accidentally picks up a little device of Gyro gear looses. Mm-hmm. And Gyro has invented this virtual reality computer thing that transmits through this thing that looks like the size of a quarter,
yep,
thickness of a quarter, color of a quarter. So, you know, when you're inventing technology, people make it look like something people are already familiar with. So when you come to drop off your bubble gum, you can accidentally give the delivery boy, in this case, Donald Duck, your magic technology instead of the actual money that he came to pick up.
Exactly. And then any fantasy that Donald has becomes real to him.
Yeah.
The world looks mighty good to him because Tootsie Rolls is all he sim.
Lots of, I don't want to say Nemo in Slumberland action, but a lot of it is, it kind of feels that way.
It's in that same ballpark. It's mm-hmm. that heavy dream imagery and the silliness. And There's a point where he falls on a bag of money and the money starts bucking like a bronco, and then a giant Scrooge shows up to chase him down for stealing his money. And
right.
It's basically what you'd expect Donald Duck's daydreams to be like until he starts being eaten by the giant chocolate monster.
Right, right.
Donald has some problems.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Because he imagines his girlfriend is a fire-breathing vampire dragon
mm-hmm.
who carries him away into the sky.
Yeah. And then, of course, he gets arrested by cops who think that he's just a loon. Mm-hmm. And then he's like, oh, I'm getting rid of this. And he tosses it out or something. And the cop picks it up. And then the cop goes crazy. Because
right,
now
the
he's
cop runs this. Away with the hallucination device.
Yeah, it's...
Donald just walks off and goes, ha, what a crazy day.
Yeah.
Meanwhile... Thankfully, meanwhile, this takes place in Denmark, so that particular officer probably isn't heavily armed.
No. Yeah, that's true. Too soon. Then we get into the second part of the story, which starts with the giant recap caption.
Which and, is hysterical, by the way.
And yes, and then the military gets wiped out, and Pigleg Pete is
yes.
the head of the military, at least in this story, and is a good guy
well,
for now.
Well, if I wasn't temporarily a good guy, I would... Right?
And so then they try to make their way out by acting like zombies, like right. you do in a zombie movie. You pretend you're a zombie so none of them notice. They get on a bus, and they're about to get out of town, but giant captions start attacking their bus. And they realize that the way to defeat them is to be nonsensical, because how do you explain nonsense in a caption?
Exactly. Pete takes a bump on the head and starts... gibbering nonsense, and all the captions turn into question marks because they can't figure out how to describe what happens.
And then Mickey, who is normally the straight-laced hero, has to do something that he's not normally used to, which is be crazy.
Yep.
At which point all the captions blow up.
Tell one of your funny stories, Mickey.
And then finally, the last caption we get is the end. And again, they talk about the horror genre again with, here are three things that are going to happen. Either... Yep. It's finally destroyed once and for all. It survives somehow in order to make a sequel, or the monster is a hoax and we go out on a tension-breaking joke. Sure, a story-ending communal laugh and head for home. Ha, ha, ha.
Yeah. Turns out the last caption that sneaks up is just the end of the story.
The end of the story, except it's not quite the end, because next thing we know, Mickey's getting splashed in the face with a bucket of water because Mickey was laughing in his sleep. And you know, if someone's laughing in your sleep, you're supposed to just douse them.
Pour water on them. Yeah.
Around your comic book collection.
If your friend takes a head injury, you put him in a chair, wait till they laugh and dump water on him.
Yeah.
I'm not saying, well, come on, it's Goofy.
Yeah. He's not the...
Goofy is not exactly the sharpest bulb at the bottom of the barrel is what I'm saying.
Yeah. And so then they go out for ice cream. The end. Yes. Or is it?
Or is it? It is.
So these stories are not that old, which is kind of surprising, because what they've done is they kind of follow some of the older art style, some of the Italian-French art style of Mickey. And I want to say 1967 through like 75 or something like this.
Even earlier than that. This is 50s style Mickey. The only thing he's missing is his little hat.
Right.
He doesn't have his pork pie hat in this. But yeah, this is like 50s styles Mickey in a bowling shirt and capri pants, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This was actually first printed in 2011, and then the Donald Duck story, again, which feels like a very, you know, late 70s kind of vibe to it.
Feels like a Silver Age Donald Duck story, the kind of thing, you know, that we would have read when we were kids, when you could still find comics on the street corners.
It says this one was first printed in 2015. At least that's how I'm reading it. It says from Italian... Topoline, 2900, 2011, first U.S. publication.
Topolino.
Yes, that's what I said.
That's Mickey's name in Italy.
Topoline, yep. Mm-hmm.
Topolino. Topoline is actually that line. That's the stuff that they use to floor a Waffle House is Topoline.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah,
I thought that's
yeah.
what you were supposed to tell someone when they weren't doing their job. Hey, man, Topoline.
Topoline.
Yeah, you're not pulling
See,
your
I don't
weight
know.
Here.
I always do my job, so I wouldn't know how that sounds.
Okay. So what did you think of these two stories?
My thing has always been, I love the fact that Disney Comics and Stories is back, because as someone who both grew up reading, you know, just junk funny books all the time, at a certain point, you're like, I remember stories like this. And again, I didn't start reading books until, you know, 1983, 1984. But even so, these books were still out there. And, you know, you'd go to like church camp and there'd be a Woody Woodpecker cartoon. So
right, right.
I think that adventure type stories with anthropomorphic characters are one of the major components missing from the American comic book industry. As such, they can be good, they can be bad. I feel like the main story, the framing story of this issue is great.
Mm-hmm.
The Donald Duck story is cute and solid. It's a good B-side feature.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But I feel like this whole issue, it's really, really well chosen because they end up both being stories about hallucinations. They're both clever. They're both funny. And that's the thing. They're genuinely funny. They aren't like laugh out.
No. But definitely the Waldorf. I really thought the Mickey Mouse one had a lot more humor in that it was very tongue in cheek and was really, you know, there was some education hidden underneath the surface. It's like Plink. What is it? Plinkstrom Boom or whatever the cartoon was that Disney put out years ago. So it's kind of like that in that you're learning a little something. But I think that for younger readers, especially because I was like, oh, man, this would be a great story for my kids to just read.
Right.
They would enjoy it, but it would probably be another 10 years before they're like, how do I know all of this stuff?
Right. The caption apocalypse.
Some
of the captions are just genuinely strange.
Because
some of the captions are little bits of poetry and doggerel. And some of them are just literally the ridiculous things that you see in the comics of the old school age.
Right.
The meanwhiles and the oh-ho.
Oh, yeah. I love those. I love those. I still use them.
I miss them. I miss those, and I miss thought balloons, too.
I'm not a big fan of the Donald Duck story. That was just a little bit too much for me. I like the art. I really like how the look of the art came about. But the story was just like, whatever. It's a chance for the creators to just kind of go crazy and do some crazy imagery. And
It's got a gyro kind of thing that drives the plot.
Mm-hmm.
Your metaphorical MacGuffin is basically Gyro Gearloose created some impossible device.
Right.
And then we beat up on Donald for 20 pages.
Had this been the first story in the issue, I probably wouldn't have continued past this.
I think, it's definitely a B-side, but it's kind of a strong B-side. It's like when you get that Beatles song, you're like, oh, it's a good song. I don't know if I want to go out and buy the record.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really fine if it's on like the flip side of Norwegian Wood. I'll listen to that.
Yeah.
You know, it's an album cut. It's something where you're like, in context, I'm willing to listen to this. I would not go and put it on my MP3 player except in as much as I might put the whole album on my MP3 player and play it in order.
Right.
That's kind of the way I feel about the Donald story. But it's really well drawn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It feels Barksian without, being Barks. But it's not trying too hard to be Barks. It's clearly a riff on the Carl Barks kind of art and story. And I think that works for it. It's in that same vein, but it's not meant to be taken as a friend of mine.
Yeah. No.
That sentence totally makes sense when you're going there.
I'm sure it was when you started out.
Oh, hush. You're just jealous you don't have a cute hat like Gyro Gearloose.
So I've got lots of cute hats. So thumbs up or thumbs down on this issue?
I say thumbs up because it has a really, really entertaining tale. And I am a sucker for a story that's as much about itself as a story as it is about what's being told. It has multiple layers of enjoyment.
Mm-hmm.
So if you read it straightforward, it's just kind of a silly thing that happens where Mickey dreams he's in a comic book.
Right.
But if you read and go through, it's actually making a little bit of joke out of the stories in comic books and making this story a joke that is a joke about a joke, which is really complex storytelling when you think about it.
Oh, yeah, and they're able to pull it off, and it works out really well, and I really kind of dig that a lot. I say if you want to read fun, all ages, tongue-in-cheek, kitty comic, then this is a book to pick up. And even if you're wanting to just maybe get a little bit of feel or vibe for what Mickey Mouse or Walt Disney Comics and Stories is about, this is really nice to pick up because it's not part one of six or anything like that. It's definitely a done-in-one. And there are some stories that they have that are two-parters that spill over into two different issues. So this is nice that it's a done-in-one. And then I think comic book fans will like this because it's self-referential.
right?
And it's got that little bit of history in it, or a little bit of theory in it. And so I think that that works really well, too. If you're not into that, then this is probably not your thing. If you're into things blowing up, and if you're into, you know, serious comics, then Walt Disney's Comics and Stories is not for you.
Yeah, it ain't 300.
No.
The thing about it is,
this is Duckburg.
These are the stories that have made Donald Duck and Mickey and Goofy beloved around the world. These are the stories that are some of the best-selling stories in the history of comic books ever.
Yeah.
So I really enjoy the fact that we are once again finally getting something that is truly an all-ages story. I mean, this is what my grandma would call a funny book.
Yeah.
But it's a funny book in the purest sense, to where I would not have a problem reading this on a metaphorical subway, because it's funny. Yeah.
No.
And it's cool. And, you know, if somebody wants to come at me and go, "Why are you reading comics, bro?" then I could lay the smack down.
I don't think anybody would do that. I don't think people do that.
They do. Do they?
I don't think so. I don't think they do it today. Maybe, you know, maybe 15, 20 years ago, a dude bro would probably come up to you on that. But today, I think they're just, you know, people are just like, yeah, whatever. I mean, and then they'll go onto their podcast or onto their
Pokemons.
There's some people that really are like, oh, I cannot believe 45-year-old people are still reading comic books. This is stuff they should have put down long ago. Meanwhile, they're out there wrenching on their cars and they're a big car collector or something like that. Yeah. How do people think get into these childish comic movies? So it's, you know, it's different strokes for different strokes.
Wandering through a cemetery going, hey, I caught a Patreon.
But I think a lot of people get it now, and they're fine with it. Or if they're going to complain about it, they do it in the confines of their other fellow dudes and dudettes.
Secret douche bro convenience.
Yeah, whatever. It's whatever. So coming out next week from Dark Horse Comics, we have Buffy the Vampire Slayer season 10, number 29. Dark Horse presents...
Are you still in season 10? I thought they were doing season 11.
That's what it says. BTVS... Season 10, number 29, I'm going to bet they'd do in 32 issues or something like that.
I used to watch Bugs Bunny on BTVS every day after school.
Mm-hmm. Mr. X, Modern Age, Limited Edition, Hardcover, that's $100. Usagi Yojimbo 156 comes out next week, as does Weird Detective number 2. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah.
Over at DC Comics, we have Adventures of Supergirl number 6, Aquaman number 3, Batman number 3. Man, I really enjoyed Batman number 2 a lot. I really like what they're doing.
I got a look at number 1, and I felt like number 1 had some interesting stuff in it.
Yeah, number 2 continues that, and of course it's the Monster Men story with Hugo Strange in it.
So I love Hugo.
But the other interesting thing, and I pointed it out in my review over at MajorSpoilers.com, is that in the first issue, Batman's about to die, and at the last minute there's two new heroes that we've never seen before, Gotham and Gotham Girl, appear and save the day and become kind of, they want to team up with Batman and they want to help the city.
Gotham Girl.
It's interesting that Flash is thinking in the Flash comics, man, I sure do miss having a sidekick, when boom, suddenly these people are getting hit with powers and are becoming Flashes. And what's even more interesting then is if you realize that both Batman and Flash are investigating together this idea that someone is manipulating and controlling the universe around them.
Ooh.
And so it makes me wonder that maybe these new heroes that are popping up aren't somehow connected to the greater Dr. Manhattan storyline.
Maybe Jonathan Osterman is just putzing with their head now.
Maybe. Or maybe that's the ghost of Julia Schwartz saying, stop.
Ooh, to pick up this issue, my life depends on it.
Yes. Clean Room number 10 also comes out from DC Comics, as does Hellblazer Rebirth number 1. I bet you're going to be interested in that.
Those are both creepy books.
Legends of Tomorrow number 5. Oh, there were a couple of new books that are announced, and one of them sounds really cool. It's based on 60s and 70s love stories, and it's
Dark Mansion of Forbidden Love.
Yeah, it's Dead Man doing that story, and nice. I think that one's a 4-issue miniseries. I want to say 4, it may be 6. And then the other one that was just announced is Hawkman and Adam Strange are teaming up to prevent an intergalactic war in... what is it called? Out of Time is the name of that series. And that's a 6-issue miniseries. And they're like, and I think DC, and there's a big talk about spoilers this week all over the Twitter feed. You know, you read the solicitations and they're like, oh, these things are going on. And Adam Strange and Hawkman must figure out who is the person behind it all or what's causing all the problems. And then they show you the cover And you see Adam Strange in a pose shooting his gun off. And you see Hawkman with his mace and blow and defending some blasters. And they're looming in the background as this evil presence, Despero.
No!
And it's like,
no!
Well, I think you may have just already spoiled the big bad.
Oh,
in this.
See. That might be an int there, Jimbo.
Yeah. Scooby Apocalypse number 3 also comes out next week from DC Comics and Superman number 3. IDW Publishing has a short week next week, but they're going to have a big week over at the San Diego Comic-Con with Archangel number 2, Back to the Future, Citizen Brown number 3, Random Encounter Card Game. I don't know what that is. It's a 1999 game. And then Tales from the Dark Side number 2, which I've missed the first issue because that team's Joe Hill and Gabriel Rodriguez together again. And wow. I really want to see that book because it is the Tales from the Dark Side TV series.
Cool.
So, yeah, I want to go check out that first issue and then read issue number 2 next week. Image Comics has Black Road number 4. Chew 56, that series is quickly coming to an end.
Mm-hmm.
Island number 9, She-Wolf number 2, Snot Girl number 1.
Oi.
You're not into this very pretty girl who just is snot coming out of her nose left and right?
Snot is one of those things that I just, we're out.
You know, snot as a word or actual snot?
It depends. I mean, either or. I have the same problem with Rick and Morty when Rick is constantly vomiting.
Oh, vomiting, yeah.
That's just, there's a point where I'm like, I do not need bodily fluids as plot points, kids.
Well, that's what we're going to find out next week in Snot Girl number 1.
And when we say we, you mean
oh,
you?
Oh, come on. I thought we said we weren't going to talk about bodily fluids. Marvel Comics has A-Force number 7, All New Inhumans number... Man, that's such a joke bomb that it took you that long to get. Black Widow's...
You're number 2, Steven.
Yes, thank you very much, Matthew. Black Widow gets issues 1 through 5 reprinted if you need to pick that up.
You should, actually. That's wonderful.
Deadpool and the Mercs for Money number 1. That's a new series. Moon Knight numbers 1, 2, and 3. I wonder if they're putting out a lot of these just because of San Diego Comic-Con and they want to have a lot of on stock.
Could be.
Spider-Man and Deadpool number 7, although it is a oddly light week. And, of course, we're reading the early list of this, so this may change by next week. But it seems like an oddly light week. Darth Vader number 23, Thunderbolts number 3, Star Wars number 21, Ultimates number 9. X-Men Trial of Gambit trade paperback $14.99. We won't tell you who died in the pages of Civil War II number 3, but
yeah,
Marvel is more than happy to do it when they announced two new books. The Accused and the Fallen number 1. Yep. And even in the headlines that they sent out in their press release say who hero was that died. I went ahead and blocked it out, although it's 4 letters, so I'm sure people can figure it out.
You're kidding.
Yep.
No, they didn't kill Ruth.
They killed Rocket Raccoon, or they killed Groot, yes.
Groot is 5 letters.
What? I've been spelling it wrong all this time.
He was spelling with a U and an out.
Yeah. I'm Groot.
Steven is from Sweden.
In all the rest of the category, we've got Archer and Armstrong number 5, Blade Bunny number 3, Brickleberry number 1, which I think is a young adult or a young kid's comic. Brickleberry, I want to say.
Brickleberry?
I think it's a bear.
I was a kid, we used to have Brickleberry ice cream.
Wasn't there like a Brickleberry bear cartoon show? That's Dynamite Entertainment. Let's double check. No, Brickleberry Armageddon.
Brickleberry Armageddon.
Huh. Might have to check that out.
He's not a comic bear.
No, he's not. He's actually some dude that looks like he's running around in the future blowing things up. So,
ooh, I know who it is. It's Sergeant Brickleberry.
Yeah, probably. Doctor Who, the Ninth Doctor, number 4. Let's see. Exodus Life After, number 6. Faith Ongoing, number 1. That first issue comes out. And there's a lot of variant covers that they're going to have at the San Diego Comic-Con. You want to go check out the Valiant Entertainment booth. Valiant also hit up a number of Harvey Award nominations, which was really surprising. It's like they almost dominated an entire category.
A remarkable achievement.
Yeah, which is interesting. Garth Ennis, Red Team Double Tap, number 1.
Red Team Double Tap?
Yeah, that was
Wasn't that a Mountain Dew flavor?
Yeah. Let's see. Goldie Vance, number 2. That's now an ongoing series. That was announced this week from Boom Studios. The Joiners, number 2, and Joyride, number 4.
Mario Joiner?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Florence Griffith Joyner.
Yes. Lords of the Jungle, number 5. Madballs, number 4. Lumberjanes, number 28. Yes, and it's about the it's about that toys from the 80s.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, number 5. You're not reading that for some reason.
I'm not?
I don't know. I don't see any reviews up on the site. I figured you'd be all over this series.
I haven't been reading it. No, I haven't been paying attention.
How come?
Who's it by?
I don't know. It's Boom Studios is the publisher.
Okay. Yeah.
But I don't know who the writers are. I know that they have, like, there's a Pink Ranger miniseries going on.
Right.
And I think they've got a Green Ranger series coming up or something like that.
Green Ranger on tap.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I remember the Zero came out and I was like, ooh, this could be interesting. And I just never even tried about it.
Well, go read it. Once okay. Our Land, number 1. Star Wars Rebels, number 3. Ugh, Smosh,
the Rebels
3.
Are there.
And let's see, what else do we have? Zombie Tramp Ongoing, number 25. Those are just some of the titles that are coming out next week. Of course, you can head over to Major Spoilers next week early and check out the complete list for yourself. And it's interesting because Previews World, the Diamond Comic Distributors people, totally revamped their website today. So it's much harder to find the upcoming releases than it was in the past. So be on the lookout for that. But that's why we've got MajorSpoilers.com. All you have to do is go over to MajorSpoilers.com. And there's a whole new tab that just, or it's not a new tab, but it's there that just says new comic releases. You click on that, you get all the new comic releases for every week that they come out. We try to have those up on Monday. Sometimes though, they go up Tuesday morning. So there you go. Next week on Dueling Review,
Black Hammer number 1, written by Jeff Lemire, art by Dean Ormiston. Once they were heroes, but that age has long since passed. Banished from existence by a multiversal crisis, the old champions of Spiral City, Abraham Slam, Golden Gale, Colonel Weird, Madam Dragonfly, and Barbalian now lead simple lives in a timeless farming town. Even as they try to find their way home, Trouble has a unique way of finding heroes wherever they are.
You can show your support for this show and everything we do at Major Spoilers by becoming a very important person at members.majorspoilers.com. Your contribution allows us to keep this show going, pay for our growing costs, and it gives us the motivation to produce more content for you each and every week. Plus, when you become a member, you get access to some really cool bonus content and podcasts. Thank you so much for checking out Dueling Review, and we will talk with you next time when you will hear Matthew say...
What?!
This podcast is copyright 2016 by Major Spoilers Entertainment, LLC.
Whether you're looking to build a website for your business, your hobby, your podcast, or just for fun, Pear Networks is your go-to web hosting partner. Not only do we have the lowest domain price in the industry, starting at just $11, we've got hundreds of stunning website templates to help you stand out from the crowd. You're not a techie? Not a problem. With our easy DIY site builders, you can launch your impressive website without any technical know-how. And when it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. Check out Pear.com today to learn more. PAIR.com.
Ever tried reading while jogging, cooking, or even juggling flaming torches? Yeah, doesn't end well. But with audiobooks.com, you can conquer books without the circus act. Dive into over 450,000 titles, including more than 10,000 free ones. Get hooked on a bestseller, find your next obsession, or finally read that classic you've been avoiding since high school. And here's the inside scoop. Sign up today for a free 30-day trial and snag your first 3 audiobooks on the house. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. That's audiobooks.com/podcast FREE.